This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it, New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of New York, New York. We're going to talk about New York. That's why we thought we would play it, thanks to Big Ed. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning, March the 24th, and we're all still here, are we not? We will be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. We're going to talk about whether we are sacrificing our jobs and our economy to speed up control of the virus. I think you're going to find it very interesting. Please stay tuned. And Congress fiddles while the virus burns, you might say. Pelosi and Schumer still at odds with Republicans on a bailout bill. They're talking about one this morning, but so far no dice. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll to see if mainstream America really wants the feds, to come up with a fix. And maybe this is good news. China is lifting the lockdown on Wuhan province. You know where the whole thing began? Is it the beginning of the end for this pandemic, maybe? Is this good news? We're going to talk about that. And in our ultimate Top 10. If you wanted to go to a country where you wouldn't get the virus, where would you go? Well, we've got the top 10 countries with the fewest coronavirus cases. So stay tuned for that. All right. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. You guys got to get over to his shop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, just north of Route 580. And on Overcash Drive. They're open, by the way, Tuesdays through Saturdays, 8:30 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, and then 8:30 to 2 on Saturday. Andrew's Master Barbershop. And also, please visit our website, will you? OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed sets up all our shows on there. You can sit back in the middle of the night and listen to us and be soothed and learn and feel contented. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, well, we got a lot of things going on. I asked Ed if we could do New York, New York, because evidently New York is starting drug trials. New York State is going to start these drug trials today in an attempt to control this thing. I think we're on our way to getting around the corner on this whole thing, you know? I like to be an optimist about it. Governor Andrew Cuomo, I think he's getting more FaceTime than the president these days. Every day he's on the air, at least on Fox. So, Ed, you like Governor Cuomo. I'm sure you're listening to every word that drops from his pearly
lips.
Well,
accidentally last night as I was flipping through and then the phone rang and I didn't realize I was on this the Communist News Network channel.
CNN.
Yeah, and that dude that's got that show on there, Richard Madoff.
Oh yeah,
was saying
Rachel Maddow
was
yeah.
saying that the real president is Cuomo, and the fake president is Trump. He's really handling this situation better than.
Did she really?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Ed, you're funny. Yeah, Rachel Maddow. Why is she still doing on the air? She's the biggest conspiratorial person I've ever heard of. You know, she had a conspiracy theory for everything. I'm not kidding you. I don't listen to her, but I can just imagine some of the conspiracies she must now be coming up with.
She was great with the border thing and the children being turned away, and she's fake crying. And
I know.
Come on, Rick, move on.
Yeah, I'm amazed she's still on. I'm not kidding you. But listen, to each his own. Anyway, you know New York is now our hardest hit state for this virus, right? And so I can understand that Cuomo is getting some FaceTime on television. They've got over 20. They've got 21,000 confirmed cases there. So Cuomo says that they've acquired about 70,000 doses of this hydroxychloroquine. Now, there's a lot of people that say they think it'll work.
Wasn't it a drug used against malaria or something like that?
Yes.
And they may have tweaked it out a little bit?
Yes. Yes, indeed. That's correct. It has been connected to battling malaria. And malaria was a big, big deal, you know, back in the jungles. And, oh, golly, Albert Schweitzer, the doctor that went over to Africa to treat it. So, yes, they're going to use that. They're going to try it out. And Cuomo is very supportive of this whole thing. By the way, I heard an interesting thing this morning. You know, the National Institute of Health, somebody said, I think it was that guy, he's an economist. He happens to be a pro-Trump guy. Stephen Moore was on C-SPAN this morning. And he said, where was the National Institute of Health? He said, they've got more than enough money, but they started getting political. Mm-hmm. They started talking about LGBTQ issues and stuff that had nothing to do with what their charter was. And their charter was to monitor the diseases. Now, you know, I want to make sure I said the NIH. It might be the disease. What is the name of that major federal with the word
Center for Disease Control?
Yes.
CDC.
That's it. Thank you, Ed. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. The Center for Disease Control. Stephen Moore said, where were they? Where were they? Mm. Isn't that in their very name, disease control? Mm-hmm. Should they not have been aware of this thing? Where were they, you know? And he blames them. And he said the government pumps all kinds of money into that place, and they've gone down the political avenue, you know? So it was a very interesting point. However, we want to get back to the fact that people are that there are things that are coming, and among them is this hydroxychloroquine, and so they're going to be running these tests in New York. They start today, and we'll see where all of this goes. You know, there's going to be something. We're going to figure this out. In the meantime, we just have to kind of keep our composure, you know? We have to keep our composure. In the meantime, let's do this. We're going to change gears a little bit. We're going to talk with Chris Edwards. He's the director of tax policy studies at Cato. Great organization, by the way. And we're going to talk to him about how the coronavirus is kind of at odds with the economy, and are we going to sacrifice one to save the other?
This is the Tam Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on our Tuesday. I'm delighted to have back Chris Edwards from the terrific Cato Institute, where he is Director of Tax Policy Studies. He's also the editor of downsizinggovernment.org. I recommend it to you. Chris, thanks for coming back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. I am so interested in talking with you this morning because you have written a great piece in on the website for Cato, Coronavirus and Politicians Versus the Economy. And we have been talking about that here and with the concern that we got to figure out a way to balance this virus control with salvaging our economy. And it seems like we're letting go of the economy in our fight to deal with this virus. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think there's 15 states now that have mandatory shutdowns for virtually all industry. I think that's a big mistake. I think it's going too far. It's not just sort of economics versus health. The close down of the economy, if it extends too long, it's going to literally lose trillions of dollars worth of income for Americans. Many, many, perhaps millions of small businesses will be ruined. There'll be bankruptcies. It would be a terrible tragedy. I think that businesses have shown every ability to respond to this outbreak in a responsible manner. Many businesses close voluntarily. I think that, you know, central planners can't really decide which businesses can be safely operated and which can't. I think we let individual businesses decide. I think that, you know, the government's role is to do, I think, what they've done in South Korea, which has been very successful battling this, is to have widespread testing and then widespread tracing of the outbreaks. That's, you know, classic public health stuff. I think that's the government's proper role, not to force all these shutdowns.
Yeah, and South Korea, you know, it's working. It's working over there. Now, I get the impression, I don't know if I'm right, but that Trump is all of a sudden, either he understands that we gotta really worry about what we're doing to the economy. And by the way, good news here. I'm looking at the stock market, 1,334 to the good right now. Maybe that's a good sign. But it seems like at least he, maybe with his business sense, does he realize, do you think, that you know, the federal government can't put the brakes on the economy without some lasting permanent damage?
I think I noticed his comments yesterday, too, and I think that's right. I think, you know, the administration was caught a little flat-footed at the start, but they've reversed course now, and they are doing a lot of things that are useful. For example, pushing through deregulations. I mean, for example, they deregulated telemedicine to allow, you know, doctors to practice you know, and treat patients online. They've relaxed some of the occupational licensing surrounding doctors and nurses. A lot of states have lifted restrictions on so-called certificates of need. These were state laws that restricted hospitals and other healthcare providers from adding hospital beds and machines and the like without, you know, government approval, which are ridiculous laws. So there is some good deregulation going on here that will help the private sector response. And I think that's the appropriate role of government here, to help businesses resume operations in a safe manner. I think that's the government's proper role.
Right, right. And, you know, also the idea perhaps of allowing each of the governors of the 50 states to kind of run things for their state, because what's going on, for instance, in New York may not be what's good for Wyoming, you know? And if you can just get it down to the level closest to the people, sometimes, or maybe all the time, that you know, I often look at the federal government. Maybe they should be more of a cheerleader. What do you think?
Well, I think that, so I think I've written a lot about, you know, disaster response in terms of hurricanes and the like, and there is this, the federal government has a, when the federal government has unique capabilities, so with hurricanes, they've got the Coast Guard. That's a unique capability that the federal government has, and that's great, but, you know, the disaster response should mainly be left to state and local governments, because that's where all the first responders work for state and local governments. And as you said, you know, the local conditions are different everywhere. So with this, with the health crisis, obviously the CDC has unique capabilities, and that's great, and we should use it. But you're right that local conditions differ. What is right for different, you know, businesses, you know, varies by business. I mean, if you think about, say, you know, a small manufacturing business with 10 or 20 workers who have workstations that are widely separate, if that business knows it can operate right, safely, I think it should be encouraged to operate safely. I think individual businesses themselves know when they can operate safely, considering their own workers and their own customers.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we can bring a lot more businesses back into the fold rather than having everybody sitting at home, you know, worrying to death. I mean, there's a double-edged sword to that, and both sides of it are bad. You know, you send the people home, they're sitting around the house, you know, that, I don't know, it festers.
I'm terribly worried about millions of small businesses, and also, you know, many of lower-income hourly workers who have been put out of jobs unnecessarily here. I mean, many small businesses, if the cash flow is not coming in, they're going to have to fire workers. They can't pay their rent, and they may have to go bankrupt. I think we've really got to limit these shutdowns for the shortest period of time.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you know, I think we can do two things at once. By the way, we're talking with Chris Edwards, Director of Tax Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, also the editor of DownsizingGovernment.org. He wants to see our federal government slim and trim, and, you know, able to move about much better. That's what I think we all agree with that. And even here, I think that philosophy bodes well. You know, let's get.
Yeah, and all, you know, there's a problem now. I mean, Congress, of course, is considering this massive $1.5 trillion stimulus bill now. I think that's mainly misguided. They're going to be sending these checks of like $1,200 to every adult. That doesn't make any sense to me.
We don't work.
The problem now in the economy is not that we don't have enough demand and they're trying to stimulate more demand. The problem is that we've shrunk supply too quickly and too rapidly. And so all these checks aren't really the right answer. I think the right answer is for the federal government to help businesses open when they can open safely.
Yeah. I was watching that economist, I think his name is Art Laffer, you know who I mean, and he was talking he was talking about, it's helicoptering money, writing these checks and trying to get them out to everybody. First of all, you're never going to reach everybody. Second of all, those that don't get the check are going to be upset they didn't get it. I think that's crazy.
No, right. So I think it's reasonable for the federal government to expand unemployment insurance system, which we already have, you know, up and running here. That's fair, especially for low-income hourly workers who are going to be unfairly put out of jobs here. But I think some of them are going to be angry. People who are newly unemployed, if they see their neighbor who is still employed getting the same check as them, that's going to strike a lot of people as unfair.
Yeah, I don't see how they could have thought that one through. I'm hoping that they don't. I mean, Laffert said, why don't you get back to that payroll tax idea where they, where you stop the payroll tax process, people can keep more of their money, et cetera. And then maybe if we did something like that, you know, where you don't have to go and physically send checks out. I mean, I'm thinking that is a boondoggle, you know.
Right.
And
right.
But go ahead. I want to hear.
So we'll see in Congress. You know, yeah. The problem with this bill they're considering Congress this week, too, is all this pork that's being put in. I mean, right. Particularly the Democrats, it seems. I mean, they put in, for example, $35 million to fund the JFK Center for Performing Arts.
Yes.
Crazy. They're doing this bailout for the postal system that is unneeded. That they're trying to eliminate the postal system's prior debt, just sort of by the stroke of a pen. They're trying to extend solar tax credits. They're trying to mandate that airlines reduce their carbon emissions. So there's all this extraneous stuff that Congress is putting into this giant spending bill, which is sort of the usual problem we see in Washington.
You would think that common sense would say you don't even want to think about that stuff right now when, you know, you're trying to save people's lives.
You would think that there'd be some individual responsibility, but as we saw, you know, last week, you know, many senators, they were preoccupied with readjusting their own personal, financial portfolios before the Wall Street crash hit, rather than dealing with the public business.
Yeah, in a way, I guess it's the libertarian in me. I kind of am glad that they keep bumping heads in this thing and not doing it, because there's so many of the things I think would not work that they're trying to do. If they would just back off of this stuff and say, look. Let's let every state and their governors and their local municipalities figure out what they're going to do. If they want to keep businesses open there, God, that's great. Let them do it, you know. And if they want to change and have a different policy, it's up to each state. I just think, I wish we would try something.
Unfortunately, it looks like we're going to be, the government and taxpayers are going to be at least $1.5 trillion further into debt after this week. So I hope this money is temporary and limited, and that there's no permanent new spending programs that are passed here. That's what I worry about. And I hope Trump follows his instincts, like we were talking about yesterday, to continue the deregulation and to try to make this business shutdown as short as possible.
Right. And I think, and on a final note with all of this, I hope that the media does not fan the flames of fear. And I sometimes think that many, many try to do that. And this is the time where it really is a good idea to err on the side of caution and calm, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And look, I think the American people and American businesses have responded very well here voluntarily. Everybody that I know, and I'm sure everyone your listeners know, everyone's social distancing by themselves. Businesses are acting responsibly by themselves. I'm writing a piece that'll be up at Cato today on the tremendous response by America's entrepreneurs to produce more masks, to produce more ventilators,
right,
to research possible treatments and drugs. The private sector response has been fantastic here, and I think that's what's going to save us.
And I think that's exactly right, and the private sector will be the one that will find the solution and maybe the cure, hopefully. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. You know, let's be optimistic about things. We're going to get through this. By the way, the stock market's 1,495 points right now, to the good. To the good. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the proprietor of the Barber Poll is going to join us, and we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not Pelosi and Schumer, with their fight with McConnell on a bailout bill, if that's a good or a bad thing.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday with the stock market going upwards, which is good news. By the way, bipartisan resolution being introduced in the Congress today condemning the Chinese government over its handling of the coronavirus outbreak, and painting a stark picture of lies and mismanagement that contributed to the pandemic. This is coming from Seth Moulton, a Democrat, and Jim Banks, a Republican. So I guess we're pointing the finger and screaming and yelling. I'm just wondering, though, I mean, what's the good of a resolution doing that right now when we should be working with China no matter what they have done? Hey, we got the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew the Master Barber, with us. And Andrew, I want to talk about that with you a little bit. You know, should we have these resolutions like that? Is that doing any good? Secondly, are you happy or are you sad that Congress can't seem to get its act together on a bailout?
Well, first of all, you knew this was going to happen. President Rahm Emanuel, he says you always got to take advantage of a good crisis,
yeah,
right? Okay.
He did, yeah.
And
don't let a crisis go to waste. Yeah.
Look at Nancy Pelosi. Wants to get money for abortion, Planned Parenthood, wants to take care of the unions. Come on, what's wrong with this woman? I mean, you know, I'm not crazy about a bailout to begin with. However, she's a nutcase.
Yeah.
I mean, they're up for election, what, June the 23rd, I think it is?
Don't people realize, don't they see that when you throw all of this nonsense onto a bill like that, when you're trying to save lives, that people can see it for what it's for what it is?
First of all, they were talking of $1 trillion. And the Democrats come out with $2.3
trillion. Yeah, it'll never be enough for them, right?
Yeah, it was $1.3 trillion more than what they want to do anyway to bail out, you know, for this coronavirus baloney. Or should I say that? I call it the Pelosi virus now.
The Pelosi virus.
It's the Pelosi virus. We formally changed its name. Yeah, instead of those little red dots, they got a picture of Pelosi with all these little green dots.
Oh, goodness gracious.
But, they're being ridiculous. And you know what? I think this is all going to show up in the elections. But I think the reason you saw the stock market bump up a little bit was because Trump says today, this is going to go on beyond April. We're going to take our economy back here, and we've got to get it going.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he does realize, and we were talking with Chris Edwards from the Cato Institute about this, and Chris believes that Trump does realize, he does see, that you can't bottle up the economy and let it tank and send us into a depression at the risk of trying to control this virus. First of all, we're going to control it anyway, but maybe we should ease off the pedal. You know, release our grip.
We both decided they've been overreacting on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Totally over. I mean, like I had to tell my own brother the other day, I said, listen, he's going in panic mode, you know. And I couldn't understand this. You're thinking one way 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden they're actually convincing you. And I said, is this any different than when our mother was in the nursing home and they told you, listen, don't come here because the flu is going around. And then when that happened, they would wheel probably 20 of the old people out in gurneys because they died from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's a little different. And he has to think the same way he did before. Nothing has to change.
Right. You know, down here in Florida, it seems like, and I think you and I talked a little bit about it, but I find when Ron DeSantis is talking about things, I must say, I was watching him. He was on yesterday morning. And I really take a lot of comfort in he really seems to have his head in the right place when it comes to this. I think people are really comfortable with his managing of this crisis. What do you think?
I think Ron is thinking before he's talking or doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of people will talk and do before they think. But I think the kid is doing a great job.
I do,
he's
too.
Thinking of what's coming out. No, I'm not going to close down everything. There's no need. I mean, again, like I said yesterday, the numbers don't back up what's going on, Paul.
Yeah.
And numbers don't lie. That's what they told me out through school, didn't they? Numbers don't lie.
They don't lie.
Okay, and the numbers verify this panic mode?
No, I don't think it does.
7.5 billion people in the world. 250,000 affected by it. And how many are dead now? Maybe 15,000?
According to this, we've got about, let's see, total deaths, 17,241.
Okay, out of 7.5 billion people.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
You know, that's like putting 50 people together that got thick heads of hair, right?
Right.
And pulling 5,000 strands of them suckers. They could pull 50,000 of them out. And you know what?
What?
Look at all the hair that's still there, Paul.
You know,
the numbers don't add up.
You're thinking like a barber. That's why you brought that one up.
That's the only way I think. But it's a good one if you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, maybe that's how you got to explain it.
Maybe you
got to
explain it that way. Now, Ron DeSantis, getting back to him for a moment, is asking people not to come down here as tourists. And he specifically said to, this is the headline, if you didn't see it, Andrew, on the Tampa Bay Times newspaper, DeSantis to New York, stay home. He says, stay home, we don't need you down here. And if you come down, we're going to isolate you for 2 weeks.
But I want to know, how do they know they're coming in?
They're going to go to the airport, apparently.
Well, that's if they fly. What if they drive?
That's true.
What if they drive? We're going to have to call it the New York virus if it happens down here.
Yeah, and you can't put a fence up at the borders and, you know, check every car that comes through. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, what's with Cuomo praising Trump? What's the idea with that?
Well, I think because they got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of stuff. That's why. And by the way, we talked a little bit about this at the start of the show, and that is that Cuomo is launching a test. They're starting drug trials. Are you aware of that?
Yep. And I heard that this morning.
Hydroxychloroquine sounds like a female impersonator. Hydroxychloroquine, doesn't it? Anyway,
yes, it does.
They're going to try that out, and it had a good effect with malaria.
So, Paul, there was a gentleman in Florida yesterday, 52 years old, had the coronavirus. He was on his deathbed. He told his wife and kids goodbye. He didn't think he was going to make it. They gave him that drug, and he was fine the next day.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't know if you heard that story or not, but it is all over the place. It was even on Fox last night. They interviewed the gentleman.
Well, they're going to do these control tests now in New York with it. So we'll really find out, you know, whether or not this stuff works.
Well, they'll know in a day. But, you know, that's another thing that Trump put into effect. Remember all this testing and stuff with these drugs taking years to go on and see what happens?
Right.
It's all done. He's testing within a day, isn't he?
Yeah, well, we got to lift all these regulations on the nonsense, and you just got to get to work. Let's get to work. Get these things tried. Let's not sit here waiting for some idiot bureaucrat in some department to say, okay, now I'm going to give it the green light. You can't do that.
I say, the only idiot bureaucrats I see right now are Schumer and Pelosi.
Oh, you mean Chuck Pelosi.
There you go.
I think they're the same person. By the way, they are the same. No, have you ever seen them together? No, you haven't.
Then you're right.
They're the same person. I'm telling you that if you take a look at them, they're the same person.
You know, you got a good possibility, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to tell me that...
I'm not sure which is...
Drag queen. Is it a he or a she, though?
That was the one
which
thing
one
I...
Which one is the real one?
I have not figured that one out. I have not figured that one out.
You know, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to superimpose their pictures on the
Chuck
computer.
Pelosi.
Oh, I'm surprised at you.
Why?
But But, yeah, I had to laugh. Today in my barbershop, we've had four people come in so far.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And I had to detain these guys a little bit because they were actually talking within a foot and a half from each other. And I said, aren't you guys listening to things?
Right.
You're supposed to be distancing. They were
about
talking in each other's space, a foot and a half apart.
So, yeah, you know, I was going to ask you the other day about that. I do want to ask you now. So, the barbershop is open. Now, you have usually an older clientele, and those are the people that are we have to be most concerned about. So, do you feel a dilemma here? Because you have a barbershop, and you cater to people of a certain age. Not that the young and the others come in, too, but you know what I mean. So, do you have a dilemma going on?
I'm not really worried about it, Paul.
So you're going to continue to do the haircuts. I mean, we have to figure.
Well, Paul,
as long as you don't cough in somebody's face, if you're doing somebody's hair, I don't. And
well,
I make sure
at the door that nobody's coughing or sniffling before they come in.
Okay, that's fair.
One thing.
Yeah.
Okay, disinfectant-wise, our hands are all disinfected between each person.
Right.
All our tools are sanitized in between each customer. I have formalin in my drawers, which is another...
Yeah.
Disinfectant. So no, I'm not too worried about it, Paul. And I clean my floors with Mr. Clean antibacterial.
And I want to vouch for this because I've been going to you long enough to know that I have never come into your place where it doesn't look almost clinically clean. It always looks spick and span. You make a point of keeping it that way, and that's true. I'm not just saying that.
You have to, Paul. You have to. On an ordinary day, my practices aren't any different than they are now, except I'll mop my floor twice a week instead of once.
Right. So now you have seen a downturn in business because I...
Oh, Paul, I'm down 80%.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we need barbershops. I mean, people's hair still grows. This is
one... No, eventually.
It's just like a grocery store.
On the computer. They show pictures on the computer, but the barbers and the hair salon goes down. What are we going to look like at 18
I know.
Months?
We're all going to look like Neanderthals. I mean, we need you. I mean, I can't see people standing in front of a mirror with a, you know, trying to reverse scissors their hair. Well, I've tried it a few times.
Paul,
it doesn't work.
I'll tell you what I think is going to happen.
What?
I think after this weekend goes by, today is Tuesday, after this we go by this weekend, if people don't see a change in these numbers and everything else, you know what I think is going to happen?
What?
People aren't going to pay attention anymore.
They're gonna...
I think it's slowly going to go back to normal on its own, because if the numbers don't change, you know, to verify what they're saying.
That people will kind of let go of this...
Exactly, their fear.
Their fear and venture back out. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
They're just going to say, you know, this fake news got us again. They sit there and try to... Let's face it, they haven't talked about anything else.
No, they
Nothing.
Haven't.
Nothing.
Nothing. No, I'm as guilty, you know, here on our show.
A meteor could crash. It don't matter.
No, it doesn't make any difference. The only topic I think we've talked about other than this whole thing about coronavirus, Ed will have to back me up on, is the Tom Brady coming to Tampa. That actually broke through and became a story.
I'll tell you who got lucky with this whole thing, too, was Andrew Gillum.
You know you are right.
He got into, you did
yes.
not hear a thing about it. He got lucky.
For those of you that don't know, Andrew Gillum was the Democratic gubernatorial candidate that ran against Ron DeSantis, the Tampa Bay Times made a big deal of endorsing. And then when he got caught, and he did get caught with some very strange people doing meth. In fact, I think he was almost passed out if he wasn't passed out.
Yeah, he was totally incoherent. He didn't know what was going on.
So the next day, I'm looking in the Tampa Bay Times. It's a little box story on about page 14.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
He made out like a bandit because that would have been great headlines.
Oh, my goodness, he did, because all of this domination now. You know, you're right. All of these other things, life still goes on, but we don't hear a thing about any. I mean,
all we heard about is how few people in the world are dying from the coronavirus.
Right. When was the last time you heard anything about the Syrian situation? Or how
That's
about,
it.
You know what
Nothing.
I mean?
Nothing.
Nothing.
And you know, everybody, Italy. Let me tell you how stupid Italy was. They were getting involved with this globalist stuff, and you'd go buy a suit that says made in Italy, you think you're paying a fortune for it, and you are, and they were importing the people from Hunan, China, whatever it's called, in there to run in the shops because the Chinese bought all their clothing factories.
So
they were bringing in 400 people a week. every 2 weeks shipping them back and forth to work in these factories.
So the influx of those Chinese is a great portion of why Italy was so hard hit?
That's right. No question about it.
By the way, did you know that China, speaking about Hunan, is going to be, if it hasn't already, I'm finding the story here, they've ended the Wuhan lockdown. People with a clean bill of health in Wuhan province are going to be allowed to get out and about. Now, remember, this is where the whole thing started in late December.
That's right.
And so if China is doing that, is this because they feel that they've got a handle on it, or do they think that, well, we just got to get the industry going again, right?
That's right. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
Nothing in between.
No. No.
But like I said, we got to pay attention to the numbers, Paul, because the numbers don't lie.
No, they don't. I'm hoping we're in the beginning of the end, if you know what I mean.
I think we are. Like I said, by next week, if people don't see these numbers going up and people dropping like flies, you're going to say, you know what, I got to get out of here. I got to go do this. And you're going to see that happen, I believe.
Right. Well, it's always I always like talking with you, Andrew, for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is you're an optimist, and you do believe we're going to make it. I agree with you. I know we will. And remember the famous saying, may you live in interesting times? Have you heard that one? May you live in interesting
times. And we are in interesting
and we
times.
Are, and we
know,
are doing so. We are doing so.
Through this whole crisis, from now on, the best investments you could invest in are the toilet paper companies. Remember that.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, they cannot roll that out, if I can use that word, fast enough. They cannot.
Did you see the cartoon they had of the Bears that do the Charmin commercial?
No.
They had the picture of the Bears saying, quick, hide the Charmin. Those humans are going crazy for the toilet paper.
on that note, my friend, I will talk to you on Friday.
You got it, Paul.
All right. Thanks so much. There he goes, the master barber. You know, I was reading, Ed, there was a survivalist. You know how all these people that are predicting the end is near, you know the survivalists, the ones that are on a mountaintop somewhere. Do you think that they're feeling a little bit, what's the word, self? They feel a little smug today, because they're going, here I am. I've been holed up like this for a long time. And now it really is occurring, right? Yeah. I mean, there was this one guy, he teaches a survivalist class. He says, you don't need toilet paper. And he goes to describe what you can do out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, Anyway, be that as it may, stock market is now at 1,404. That's pretty good. That's to the good. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 countries with the fewest virus cases.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment on a Tuesday of Freedom Works. I am Paul Mellor. We're here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, what are our neighbors to the south doing about the virus? Mexico. Well, President Obrador of Mexico says that the nation's businesses should not expect any bailouts, no tax amnesties, and that Mexico will not tap a credit line with the International Monetary Fund that they could do if they wanted. They're going to let the thing ride. He says, quote, no more bailouts in the style of the neoliberal period, which were given to banks, to large companies. He says, no, I don't even think that there will be a tax forgiveness or other mechanisms that were used before. He wants things to go on as if nothing happened. And says here, economists are quickly slashing their outlook for Mexico and now expect their economy to contract about 3% this year due to the virus on the local economy. But the government says they're not yet seeing widespread community transmission. I guess people, maybe people there, now you would think in Mexico City, that would be the worry. What do they have, about 10 million people that live in Mexico City? They're huge. They're bigger than New York, you know. But he says, this is, again, President Obrador, don't stop going out. He said, we are still in phase one. I will say when not to go out. He says you can still go out. Finally, Ed, we have talked about all the things that people hoard, right? We talk about what they hoard in a crisis. Now, right now, we know that they are hoarding paper products. And I've been to Walmart, and I have been to Publix, and now we've been to Winn-Dixie. You cannot find a roll of toilet paper. There is none. None.
It depends on when the truck comes in.
Correct. I spoke with a clerk at Publix the other day. He said, we put it out in the morning. There are people, before the doors open at this Publix, mm-hmm. there are people waiting in line. They're waiting outside the door. They're waiting, and then they open the door. I'm not kidding. And they all go into the paper products aisle. Now, they can only take one or one. It says one paper package.
Yeah, one per customer.
One per customer. Now, okay, having said all of that, would you think that Mountain Dew, there would be a shortage of Mountain Dew? Listen to this. A Kentucky couple reportedly tried to buy as many Mountain Dew cans as the Louisville Kroger would allow. And they then started complaining when they apparently took more than what the store said they could take. The man and woman tried to buy 23 cases of Mountain Dew. 23. That's 552 cans of Mountain Dew, if you're counting. They wanted it all. It was on video. And the guy told the cashier he was told he could go in and he could drop off some Mountain Dew cases in his car and then come back in and continue to bring out the Mountain Dew cases. And all of a sudden, he was told, no, you can't do that. You can't buy anymore. He starts screaming. He says, a straight up lie. What a liar. You're such a liar, you know, to the clerk. Mm-hmm. You told me I could do this. He continued to shout while the woman tried to keep the peace. He tried to push the cart out the door. They wouldn't let him. He got into a dew fight. And it's just kind of interesting.
I guess he's just got a real taste for Mountain Dew.
Apparently, unless he was going to stand out on the corner and start selling Mountain Dew and, you know, selling it at some crazy price. But I thought that was kind of funny. So here's Kroger about this. We believe that everybody deserves to have access to fresh, affordable food and essentials, especially in times of uncertainty. Well, I wouldn't call Mountain Dew an essential necessarily.
Mm-hmm. I would just let them have it.
Yeah. But what if they absolutely clear the store of 23 cases? Would you still allow it?
Of Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference?
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a point. Just thought I'd mention it. Interesting. All right. Time for our top 10. And Ed, this is kind of a strange one, I must tell you. I don't even think we should do the drum roll. because when I went to find the top 10 countries with the fewest coronavirus cases, I'm going to be honest with you, a whole bunch showed up in Africa, but you know what? I don't think they keep good records. Mm. So I tried to get the countries where I think they would there's medical personnel where you can kind of trust what they would say, right? And so this is what I found. And we won't do a drum roll, but I found seven countries claiming they only have one coronavirus case. Now, that has to have changed, but I want to tell you who they are. And therefore, if you want to go there and feel safer, people, you could go to one of these countries. First of all, you can go to the Vatican City. There's only one person that has the virus.
No, most of them don't go to the bathroom either.
It's the Pope that has it.
Oh,
everybody
really?
Else is... No, I'm just kidding. There is only one case. Maybe it's one of the Swiss guards or whatever they were. I hope it's not too close to the Pope, because he's an older man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want him to get it. So you go to the Vatican. You can also go to Syria. Would you believe if Syria told you they only had
one? No, no.
Okay, so I shouldn't believe
that.
They
nuked their own people, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, maybe this is why they only have one case. They killed everybody else that had it. How about the island of St. Vincent and the Grenadines? There's only one there. Of course, there's only five people that live there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Nepal. You know where the Mount Everest is?
Yep.
And all that? They only have one. Maybe it's because of the air up there. You know, it's cold. Very cold up Mount Everest and all that kind of thing. Let's see. East Timor. That's in the Indian Ocean. They only have one. Djibouti.
Whose booty?
Djibouti. Oh. D-J-I-B-O-U-T-I. They actually wrote a song called Djibouti at some point, that, because it sounds so funny. Djibouti's only got one. How about Chad? That's another one. Chad. One there. How about Haiti? Haiti's got one. Now, I'm not so sure about Haiti. Well, but they got the other problems.
They catch everything, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Haiti was always the breeding ground for, what was that disease that they got? AIDS. They had AIDS there, remember? Haiti had a terrific problem with the
AIDS. They have so many nasty diseases. Yeah. The coronavirus probably looks like a hangnail to them.
Maybe it does. Mm. Another one is Barbuda, Antigua. So, by the way, if you go to the Bahamas, have you go to the Bahamas?
No.
Oh, I thought you went.
No.
No? Well, I've been there. There's four in the Bahamas. Now, you got a bunch of islands. Some of them are English and some are American. Yeah. Well, only four. Haiti, if I said they only have one, I was wrong. They have two in Haiti. So that's what Haiti has. Among some others, though, Nicaragua only has two cases. That's in Central America. They got other problems. Madagascar, you know that huge island, Madagascar?
Yep.
They have three. I think if you're on an island, maybe it's not as easy to get to you, maybe.
Well, sure. Yeah. You know, somebody has to bring it in.
That's right. Did I mention El Salvador? El Salvador in Central America? They have three.
So many poor people live in the mountains, I don't think they...
Right.
You know.
They have three.
And maybe it hasn't reached there, you know?
Right. That's true. I don't think it's gotten there yet. Let's see. Fiji. That's the one with that volcano. Mm-hmm. They have three. Well, they throw anybody that's sick into the volcano. And so they always keep down their disease. That's disease control there. And so that's about it. But I thought I would say that. It's very interesting. Right now... we've got in the U.S. About 46,500 confirmed cases and just under 600 people that have passed away from it. So there you go. All right. Thank you so very much. We're going to be back on Friday. Please be safe out there. And do remember that freedom works.